This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Father, we thank you. The entrance into your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Thank you for the joy that you have filled our heart with. Thank you for the glory of your grace. We give you glory, our Father. Blessed be your name. Thank you. Thank you. You show us your word. You make us to be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to the book of Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass when Jesus made an end of commanding his disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the work of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? That their prison must be a wonderful prison. That they allow the prisoner to have disciples in the prison. So that means that the person that captured this man must be a great man. Herod himself feared John. Herod, there is no criminal that have another disciple in the... No criminal. So they knew that they captured a prophet. And when the prophet was not able to preach again, he heard the one he introduced and started preaching, and he heard of a marvelous work that has happened. But there was what he was waiting for. There was what he was waiting for. And he said unto him, Are thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? And behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. But what went ye out to see? A prophet, yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there are no reason a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffer violence, and the violence take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you receive it, this is Elias, which is to come. He that hath ears, let him hear. So you can see here that there is something that happened to John, who is more than a prophet. He was offended in him. The prophetic part is a part of offense. If you are not in offense now, is that you are coming out of offense, or you are on offense now, or you are about to enter one? So, and it's a trial of the heart to know if really you believe in what you prophesied before. No, prophecy is not just that just says the Lord. Prophecy is what you have declared that this is the life I will live. You see, John was thrown into the prison. Because he preached the gospel. He was preaching the gospel. And then he touched the untouchable. He touched the concubine of Herod. And then the concubine of Herod moved Herod to cast him to the prison. But Herod in himself was afraid because he knew he was a prophet. He was a prophet. So it was in the prison. The problem really is not the prison. The prison is lesser of strength than the prison inside. And the prison inside was the prison of offense. Now, what God did in the life of John, nobody prayed that his children would go through it. Nobody. You don't even pray to grow up like John. Yeah, more than a prophet. You want to be more than a prophet? The person that is being said to be more than a prophet, they also have a normal childhood. His parents were weak and were shrinking in age when they gave her to him. And therefore, this guy that was born at this time, it was like a comfort to his parents. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and drove him out of the house. And his parents could not do anything. They had to submit to the dealings of God over his life. And John was alone in the wilderness. And don't ever think that he was always in the Spirit. We just see one guy that he's just shaking his head like this. From when to when? For 12 years or 15 years, shaking like that, like this. Or he's running in the wilderness. He was there. He did not even know why he was there. Because it was not normal. He was from the lineage of the priesthood. The shoulder of the sacrifice belonged to him. He was also to be enjoying fat ram that they brought to the temple to eat. But this one was driven away. No shelter, no food, nothing. Remember that it was not just that if God should raise him in a supernatural way that he didn't go through human frame, then God will have been partial. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? John has feelings. John has feelings. He was a child. He became an adolescent. But he was sent to the wilderness for a purpose. To raise a prophet that is more than a prophet. He has conquered many seasons of offense. Why he should be offended with the Lord? Why he has conquered his season? Why he should be offended with God of the prophets? He survived it. And he was a man that had learned charity. So you know that John was a man of charity. You cannot be a prophet without charity. You cannot. The foundation of every prophet is charity. You know, we have this understanding, which is very perfect, that prophets, they are not just those who prophesy. Prophets are those who live a prophetic life. But, so we make reference to Abraham, yes or no? But can I tell you one thing? Abraham was a prophet. And God raised him. We are still going to look at the life of Abraham as a prophet. But one thing I noticed, there is a prophet of household. And there is another prophet of nation. There is a prophet of household. There is a prophet of nations. By the time God was calling out Abraham, Abraham was not yet a nation. He was an household. He lived a prophetic life. He demonstrated a prophetic life. And he was a prophet indeed. But when Israel became a nation, there is a need for other prophets to arise. And nobody has a significant place in Israel if he's not a prophet. So after the time of Abraham, it is very rare for you to see men that became God's standard without a prophetic voice to nation. Now, I'm saying this one to say that we should also celebrate the garment and the anointing of a prophet. I understand. But you see, there is a way we can subtly neglect the place of a prophet in the house. And then, it is not just by prophesying. It is not just by, if they don't prophesy, you won't walk.
So there is what we call the prophetic mantle. There is a prophetic mantle. He gave some prophets. It was a giving. Now, what am I trying to say? Even David, who was a king, he has a voice over Israel. Say, so, you know, he was a prophet. What happened? As I sat down there, the Lord just showed me that when a move is still an household move, a foundation for prophetic life is laid. But when you become a nation, there is a need for a voice. Praise God. Now, John was not referred to as more than a prophet because he walked like Abraham. See, you know that John was declared to be more than a prophet because he was a prophet over Israel when there was no voice again. We do not know about the household of John. We don't know his interaction with household. We don't know how he was living. But one thing was obvious. The mantle of prophetic grace was upon this man. We need prophets. As we have teachers, we have prophets. We need prophets. Not just prophet by life or prophet by ministry. As we need apostles, we need prophets, we need evangelists, we need pastors, and we need teachers. We can't remove any of the five. But because we are talking about, more than a prophet. So I'm talking about the prophetic office. I'm talking about the prophetic office. There is a manner of a prophetic office that is also a reality before heaven. That people should be anointed to bring forth the word of God at the spur of the moment. To give direction. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, more than a prophet was both prophet by nature and prophet by voice. All of us, we have one thing in common. We are all prophets by nature. But not all are all prophets. Are all apostles. Are all teachers. Not all. The prophetic mantle is given by the Lord Jesus. Because God knows that the church needs a prophet. The reason why we don't desire prophets like that. In those days, prophets are more common among white garment churches. I don't know, prophet, thou do low low. And even if he is a woli, because of the stigma on woli, are you getting me? People who have even prophetic grace, we refer to be called reverend or a pastor because the thing has been bastardized. Do you know that God led them through the wilderness by the hand of prophets? It was a prophetic anointing and prophetic stature that led them through the wilderness. That was what pierced through the wilderness. It was that prophet. He said, I led them through the hand of prophets. And he said that I desire, when one guy was prophesying in the wilderness, when he was supposed to be part of the people, that's supposed to be part of them that are with Moses. He said, I desire that all my people are prophets. So what is that prophet? What was he referring to? All should be able to prophesy. That we don't just have work alone, we also have words. If you only have leg and we don't have voice, we can't sustain the prophetic life. Why? Because it takes voice to transfer the mantle, to even transfer the conversation, to transfer the work. You must be authorized. You must be authorized to speak to nations. And out of nations, we arise prophet like you. So we will lose the move of God. We will lose. What I'm saying is that God wants all to be prophets. Prophet by nature and prophet by utterance. Now, the epistle, they were product of prophetic grace and apostolic grace. Paul was a prophet. Say, Paul was a prophet. What opened up the epistle? See, the prophetic anointing is very strong. That if a people does not have a prophet, or there are no company of prophets, God will not be able to finish his work. I mean, prophet by nature and prophet by voice. And the prophet by voice, they have visions. They have dreams. They have visitation. They have trance. They have out-of-body experience. All these things will return back. Amen. Paul said, I will come to visions and revelation. He said, I saw a man who was in the spirit. Is it 30 years ago? Is out of body? I'm not out of body. I don't even know. So if there, I will come to visions and revelation. So that means Paul had visions. He had revelations. So some of his epistles might likely be, some of them may be visions. Some of them will be revelation. It was not just prophet by life, but prophet by mantra. And one of the greatest attack against both the prophetic nature and the prophetic voice is offense. It's offense. It's offense. It's offense. It's offense. It's offense. So that means that it is very, very much important. Before you wear the prophetic mantle, there must be nature. Because what shut down the power of offense is the nature. It's the nature. It's the nature. I'm saying this one to say, we don't despise the prophetic anointing. Somebody can be purely a prophet. You know, you can be a prophet and an apostle, and you can be purely prophet. And our heart must be large enough to receive it. Is it a prophet that is coming? Receive him. He may not teach the way a teacher will teach. He may not teach the way a pastor will teach. Now, one of the things we should do, we should gather around that grace and let God speak. I am saying that now, and I want to tell you that there is no way you can even navigate the New Testament without them, without that prophetic anointing. The prophet prophesy. The teacher teach it. The apostle establish it. It confirm it is so. And the pastor it. How do you pastor? It makes it available for all. Breaking it down to all the babies, the children, the sons, and all and sundry. That's how they pastor it. And the evangelist evangelize it. What is the work of evangelizing? To beautify the word of the prophet. And that is why you see that when somebody have an evangelistic grace, it's very close to prophetic mantle too. The evangelistic grace always teach towards prophets. You know why? Because they are to work hand in hand to beautify what has been prophesied. God is a prophet can stammer prophecy, but an evangelist will not stammer. It will be utterance, flow of utterance. So you cannot see that the house is actually meant to have all these things together to complement the work of God. And the essence of it is to preserve the prophetic life. It's the word to prophet the prayer. Because without a voice, the prophetic life will be lost. You can't keep your mouth shut and then you think that nature will be transferred to your children. Why do you need to talk to your children? Why do you teach them? Why are you teaching them? Because words must be transferred. And please, don't let us attack one another. It's not about word alone. Let us allow the word. We are changing. At times, you can attack a prophetic man too. And then, I say it's not about word alone. It's about nature. In that nature, prophets are not perfect too. They are still work in progress too. So we should not use their prophetic words to now attack them. But we know that every prophet must be taken among the brethren. Hallelujah. You see, John should have completed the circle of his calling. But what caught up with him was offense. And he pained Jesus. It pained him. It was a pain in the heart of Jesus. It was a pain. It was a pain. It was a pain. It was never a thing of joy to Jesus that finally this spirit has caught up with this more than a prophet. And one of the things that the Lord told me is that the path of the prophet is a lonely path. There is nobody that comes into prophetic life and prophetic matter without being alone. You must be alone. You must what? Be alone. When I be alone, I'm not saying that you discard the brethren life. A situation is coming, you think that you are forgotten. A situation is coming, you think that they have despised you. A situation is coming that they don't even recognize my grace. A time is coming, they will think that they have abandoned you. A time is coming, you just see that everyone has left you. That is actually the path of the prophet. He must be alone. He's in that state of being alone that heaven cherish more than even public appearance. So the prophetic life and the prophetic mantle, the voice, the vision, the dream, the encounters, the revelations, They are necessary to keep the prophetic journey and to raise prophet by nature.
I can tell you, can I tell you everybody? Abraham was also a preacher. Abraham was a preacher. How was he able to coordinate 380 men? And there is no fight among them. That man, the other one, he was teaching his house. He was teaching his house. I know Abraham, my servant, for he will command his household. Commandment is both by voice and by life. So don't keep quiet. Don't keep quiet. Prophesy. Prophesy. Let the nature be transferred. As you have seen it, and is in alignment with the scripture, say it. Say it. We live by prophecy. We live by prophecy. Where does everybody? We live by what? By prophecy. I can tell you that the 99% of their epistle, they were prophecy. They came by prophetic mantle. Okay, let me give you an example. The Lord said to my Lord, thou art a priest. After the order of Melchizedek. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Until I make your enemy. Wait, was he there? Was he there when the Lord said, can you, your normal way, can you think that it was concerning the Lord? Jesus asked them, if the Lord said that, the Lord said unto my Lord, who is the first Lord, who is the second Lord? So he that is standing before you is a Lord. The first Lord said to the second Lord. And Paul was not there when Jesus said all of these things. When God said it through David, Jesus was not there. When the Holy Ghost said it through Jesus, Paul was not there. But when you look at their words, it aligns. What is that in the mantle is what is aligning it. It's a mantle. You wonder how come scriptures are aligning. And what, why is it aligning? It's because of that prophetic grace. Explaining the epistle the way it was written. The way it was written. So God wants prophets by nature and prophet by voice. Now, prophet by nature is for all. And prophet by voice to the nation is for some. But prophet by voice to one another is for all. Have you ever seen a dumb prophet before? No, no prophet is dumb. Because the strength of prophet is their voice. It's their voice. They don't need microphone. If you remove everything, remove all the AC, just leave the voice. Just leave the voice. That voice is bigger than the best microphone in the world. I am the voice of him that cried in the wilderness. I am the voice. I am the voice. It's a voice. Prophetic voices must arise. I am the voice that cries in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord. I say prophetic voices will arise that will shake kingdoms. Do not that one of the things that dug havoc to the seat of Herod was John. John shook Herod. He removed his head, but he knew that something had shifted in Herod. So God wants us to hold the truth in honor. He said, this you should have done, not neglecting the other. You discover that everyone in Israel is supposed to be a prophet. He said they should teach the law to their children. Write it on the wall. When you rise up, tell them. Tell them of the mighty acts. And those acts, Bible said, the up to now, the law and the prophet prophesy. Because the law itself is a product of a prophet. Why did God allow Moses to just bring the stone and then just say it? And just bring the stone and then let them be seen, the meek and lowly man, humble. He doesn't talk. He's just there and they're observing his life. And then as he's walking, they're observing him. Why will he allow him to write? And then ordain ordinances. Because apart from the Ten Commandments, there are also books. There are books. There is a book. When he said this book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. There is another book that was written.
And those books were to break down the prophetic voices within the oracle so that it can stream down into households. So in every household, there must be prophetic voices. The Lord must be there. Teach your children. Teach your household. Teach about the words of the prophet. Who is the prophet? Moses. Moses spoke and he lived. Say to everybody, Moses what? And can I tell you, but utterance, smooth utterance, it doesn't have too much to do with prophetic voice. After all, Moses, who is the greatest of all prophets that have ever risen in Israel, was a stammerer. But yet his word is a binding law, is the word of God over Israel. So a prophet is not just known by having sweet utterance. Even when they have broken a prophet to a state, he doesn't have strength to talk. They have removed his strength. Remember that Moses was accounted as being mighty in words, and he did. But by the time he went through the prophetic training, he lost capacity. They broke him. He couldn't speak again. So what broke him is actually the word. You know, in Egypt, Moses did charity. Moses did charity. Defending his brothers who were being oppressed. It was a work of charity. Passion for the people of God. And he was ready to lose the privilege of being a prince than to enjoy the pleasure of sin, which was a season. So what is the pleasure of sin? What is the pleasure of sin? Is it that he was fornicating? You know, in those days, we used to say, pleasure of sin. You know, we are talking to people to be born again. Even Moses endure, and then you have a prayer of sin. So, of course, a season. You don't fornicate. Fornication just once. 1 hour. After 1 hour, you are done. And then your eyes clear. And blah, blah, blah. And we think that it's fornication. It's not fornication. It's not fornication. It's the present pleasure. The present pleasure is the joy that is derived in the place of advantage. Even the pain that is derived from the place of disadvantage. Both the place of disadvantage and the place of advantage, there is a pleasure of sin in it. So pleasure does not mean you are enjoying. Pleasure that you are pleasing somebody. So you may lack, you may not have anything, but in that your poverty, you are pleasing somebody. But with complaint, with murmuring, with anger, with offense, in this church, they say that they help each other. I come now, and they don't help me. In my poor state, I won't pay house rent. They don't raise money for me, and they raise for brother Jude. That was you are not here because of that. So that is a pleasure of sin. You are pleasing sin. It's a pleasure. And somebody who is in the place of affluence may also be enjoying the pleasure of sin. What is that pleasure of sin? Am I the only one? So everybody, they come to me. Please, we need. Five people have asked me for four money. See, this night I come for church. See, it's because I'm waiting to share grace. As Pastor is finished preaching, I just say, see, I'm going. My wife, oh yeah, move the children. We are going. This church, I think they are begging is too much. See, that thing that you are doing, you are pleasuring sin. So Moses knew the implication of killing an Egyptian. Moses knew the implication of hurting an Egyptian. He knew the implication. He was dead. He knew. That is the day they will tell him the story of his life. Omar Lee. Bastard on the throne. Bastard in the palace. You not kill a rich son of the soil. That is the day that the woman that took him, we know that he has brought problem. So both his mother, his adopted mother, and he said they will go for it. But he looked at it. He looked at it. Can I tell you one thing? All the works of God among the Israelites, they were not lost. Oh, they knew the stories. They knew the stories. They knew the stories. They were archived in the way they archive information in those days. If they not be fuller, but they know that our father was Abraham. We were He was in oil of Chaldees in Mesopotamia. He traveled down to Canaan. And I was a farmer in Canaan. And we came to Egypt. And then in Egypt now, where we are now a slave, they know their story. But how did we come out of that their bondage? They don't know. So for God to deliver them, he need to raise a man. And one of the raising of Moses was to, he was to be a charity man. He was to be a charity man. And he did charity. Say, he did charity. What is charity? He thinketh not of his own. As I've said the other time, there is nobody that is arisen a prophet without charity. The foundation of the prophet is charity. See, prophet is not those who prophesy about tomorrow or what you have in your pocket, or it's not foretelling. Are you getting me? It's not even of more foretelling. I will explain what I mean. It's not more foretelling. You can be a prophet and you can foretelling in a dimension. But when I feel a prophet of the New Testament, they are prophet of the word of God and testimony. What is the amount is the word and the testimony. So they led Moses out of Egypt to be alone. One of the things that the Lord dropped in my heart when I heard that, yeah, more than a prophet, is that one of the ways God raised prophets is to lead them through the path of loneliness. To be alone. Say, to be alone. You know that one of the things that is very difficult to handle in this our generation is to be lonely. To be alone or to be lonely. You see, loneliness is part of prophetic training. I want to imagine when he was fleeing Egypt, how many of the Israelites follow him? I want to look at the distance between Egypt and Midian. What is the distance? It's not small. Even if it is one day, you'll be thinking, this guy, I kill him. Instead of his brother to follow me, he didn't follow me. He killed an Egyptian to defend an Israelite. So even the Israelite that he defended, he has relative. He not get a relative. He get a relative now. He get father, he get mother. They may be dead, but there he have other relative. You know, he can be thinking, as I killed him and I defended him, all of everybody will come and defend me. Maybe he saw that when they started looking for him, all Israelites just about to, I'm more. He's not here. Because everybody was afraid of their life. And so it's not only the criminal, fugitive, looking for him. Nobody can. When he was going, they didn't pack victual for him. Nobody came to encourage you. Thank you for killing that guy. We have been looking at that Egyptian who is an oppressor. Thank you so much. I don't think they appreciated him. It was just acting based on the prophetic voice within him. Kill that guy. Kill that guy. God moved him to kill that guy so that he can leave Egypt. He was ripe to leave. If he did not leave, he can lose the voice. He can lose the call. God can raise another. So the pleasure of sin can remove your prophetic mantle from you. I'm telling you, I can remove you from prophetic walk of life. Pleasure of sin. So he despised it. He began to walk. As he was walking, I imagine what was going through in his mind. What kind of life is this? Guy, maybe he was even blaming himself. If I knew, I wouldn't have even taken this step out of one guy. I killed this guy, Kai. And then he never knew he was walking into a realm whereby he will meet God. At what point did he meet God? When he was alone. Don't despise the time of your loneliness. Let me speak to our sisters who are not engaged. Utilize this season. When you are feeling lonely, you may not have it again. Don't use it for people to pity you. Use it for people to envy singlehood. Use it for people to envy singlehood. Sound in mind. Bright spirit. That even the married will be asking, why are you happy? Because a time is coming. You may not have this chance again. It's a privilege to be lonely. You have prayed, you have prayed. No brother is coming. God is not deaf. He knows you need husband, but he knows you need him much more to discover destiny. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be alone. It's a prophetic life. I am saying that Satan has invaded the world. You don't want to be alone. If you got the Lord cut down everything, you went to buy phone. The time you are supposed to be quiet in your mind and allow God to come, you are actually with somebody. Have you ever seen people waiting? Have you ever seen people? It's common to our generation. People cannot wait and be looking like this and look as if they don't know what to do. Even when there's nothing to press, he's calling the phone. It's because he doesn't want to be lonely. Nothing. Even if he doesn't have credit, even if he doesn't have airtime, if you go back to a past picture that were boring at another time, he starts scrolling it. Why? He doesn't want to be alone. How the voice came to John in the wilderness was that he was alone in the wilderness. A time to be quiet. We must learn to be quiet. I tell you, it will be that they won't hear your voice in the church. You just have to sit down. Everybody is ministering. You're just looking like this. Or lunch. You want to talk with your lunch? I know me. Have I lost my calling? You even see that guy where they shared the Kai. It was a prophetic testimony, not a prophetic word. Let him change it. Why not? They're not giving you a chance to come and say what is in your mind. Just, Kai, and you are enjoying the pleasure of sin on your seat. You will lose the calling. Don't mind them. Those young people, have they gone through suffering? They don't even know when we are born again. You can expect them telling the story of how you were. From campus day, we have been following Pastor Thompson. And this guy that just coming now. Okay, no problem. I'm watching them. When it is time, God knows how to justify his own. You are just wasting away. You are wasting a privilege to be alone with God. At times, even responsibility in the church can become a problem. Can be do some things we desire in those days. When now they come, we feel like they shouldn't come again. You can't say your back is taking you. And when people don't come to you, say that maybe I'm not popular in the church. Now you are popular, now they are coming, say you are tired. How do we please you? You are in choir, I've been coming for rehearsal all the time. You come. They never asked you to come or even back up. The first time they said you come and back up was because the person to back up was not around. And so that we tell you is because bench, you know, man, fierce. You are always on the bench. You know, extra, when the player have injury, those who are reserved for emergency. You never knew it was a privilege to sit down. You are not leading worship. Alone with God. Alone with God. Alone with God. You are just alone with God. I want to be with you. Hey, fellowship of only two persons. Jesus and me. What are you saying? You see, the time you spend with Jesus is much more important with the time you stand preaching. Hallelujah. And it is because of sin was crying. Because sin liked popularity. He liked popularity. He desired to be seen. He desired to be known. He desired to have influence. He desired to be the one that is cutting the shot. He desired to be the one that is leading. It's a powerful testimony within men. And he doesn't want to go. So when God wants to raise a prophetic people, he set them to be alone. And that's why the Bible says that when your father and your mother forsake you, I will be with you. Because of a necessity, they must forsake you. If you are to tread the prophetic life, they will forsake you, including your friend. Even at a time, you even forsake yourself. Me, I don't even know myself again. When the vision is clear, the vision is at the end of the day that we may be with him. That we may be with him because he is the ultimate prophet. So God separated Moses for 40 years. Nothing, no microphone, no prophecy. Nobody know him, nobody. Media, they tried him for 40 years to raise the prophet. the longer you stay in the quiver, the sharper you become. Inasmuch as we celebrate prophetic voices, before you become a voice, be in silence and love being silent. Can I tell you one thing? There is a spirit in the air. It's called the spirit of church word. It's the spirit to be known. You must overcome it. If you don't want to lose your prophetic grace and your prophetic work, if you want to become more than a prophet, you must actually despise the spirit in the church world. What is the spirit in the church world? Everybody wants to be known. Some people, the number of followers they have on YouTube is times 10, times 20 of the number they have as a physical follower. And you know why? People don't know that today I click follow. I follow. So actually, I'm not following anybody. I'm just enjoying your content. And I move away. So now, that guy have about 50 million followers. He run me. There is nobody that's following only single person. The same person that is following those also person is following the president in America. He's following the president in Japan. It depends on his interest. At the end of the day, if anything happens to the one that is following, say, well, you follow him. So they build a false identity that make them feel as if they are known, but yet nobody knows them. You think that because you stand here and you appreciate, you think everybody know me now, we don't know you. We don't know you. Honestly, we don't know you. So there is a false spirit out there deceiving men that being known and being popular in a circle is actually their future, is their destiny. Not knowing that that is what is actually killing the prophet. Selfishness. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. He told all of them that came to him, are you he that we are? He said, I'm not the one though. I am not the one. You see, the person that is coming is greater than me. That is charity. If your brother is better than you, say he's better than you. And when there's someone saying better than, don't use your head to even carry better than your head. I'm better than you. Over 40 rule. Because that thing, you have just dropped a sin. You know, there's a load of sin that you just drop. You not carry. Hey, I am better. Lord, you not carry it. See, the guy will drop him. He has overtaken you. If he says, he has better than me. He says, you are better than me too. It's not my head that will carry this sin. He's going back to hell. Answer, we will not say it. No, there's a way we say it. We don't really mean it. I say, now, and finally, you have recognized the person that is the sinner in this church. Finally, you are just, no. You are better than me. But your heart of hearts, which are exposed to evil spirits, they are seeing it. Because those evil spirits, they don't understand Yoruba, they don't understand Hausa, they don't understand English, they understand heart. Their cyber is connected to heart. And they know when you generate incense with that cyber. You see, it's not by mouth. Something must happen to your heart. As in, you are sincere before the throne of God that really, really, you are no better. You are sincere before the throne that you are no better. Can I tell you? Every act of humility and obedience and submission must be from the heart. That is what registered in heaven. He must decrease. He told them he must decrease. I must decrease. He must increase. He has already prophesied that my popularity is not needed. He that God wants to project is this guy. When the woman said that, he has started baptizing her. Nobody received anything from heaven except his giving. But if it were you, if you don't want to shame yourself before your disciples, see, the Lord gave him. Let's leave him alone. You not go to corner. Or there will not be. When did they give her to this guy? I'm about 6 months older than him. Am I not the one that baptized him? If I had refused to baptize, we go kill me. Now, baptizing, people are increasing in this church. My church is decreasing. What kind of life is this, God? Even because I introduced him. The day I introduced him, about 12 left me. 12! 12 left me. 12! I want to tell you, I want to, you're 12. And these are 12 key guys. But he has been released from the bondage of the earth. He was a man that knows how to be alone with God's purpose. He was not intimidated by the emergence of Jesus. He was okay because his mission is to show the Messiah. Why is he more than a prophet? Ask why is he more than a prophet? That means that he was more than a prophet. He was not just prophet. You know where you sent to be? Said the prophet that prophesied when Jerusalem was inhabited. So when they were inhabiting Jerusalem, that is book of Zechariah, there were prophets. And God kept them by the voice of those prophets. But those prophets, there was a limit to which their prophetic voice could keep the people. Because sin has grades. You know, there's a point you prophesy, God will punish you. You go to hell. You go to hellfire. A time is coming. People will say, hey, we don't want to go. A time is coming. We want to go. I better leave us. We want to enjoy sin. Fear is gone. Fear is gone. So you need a higher testimony to break that nature. It is sin that moved. So there was no higher testimony to break that nature. So the people could not keep the judgment. Look at verse 7. Should you not hear the words which the Lord has cried by the former prophet? When Jerusalem was inhabited in prosperity and the cities thereof, round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain. That means that there were plenty. Everybody, everywhere was mucho, mucho. No, and with all that prosperity, nobody could touch them by the voice of a prophet. But as they increased in abundance, they were not increasing in testimony. They were not increasing the word of the Lord. And because the word that comes depends on the stature of the prophet to pick signals. And it depends on the death of the prophet. How dead the prophet is to his own team. There are some things that God cannot prophesy to me. Because if God prophesied to me, I will say it. I won't say it. And if I say it, I will manage it. And God doesn't want those people. So that is why that before God can send a word to a prophet, they check his stature to prophesy. And that is why it's very important for us to keep on growing. The greatest gift any pastor can give to any church member is to grow. Whether you are a cell leader, whether you are a command style, whether you are a chorister, whether you are any position you are occupying, the greatest thing you can do is not to work more, is to grow. Is to grow because your growth can limit the work of God and it can advance it. There are some people that will not join us because there is no stature to accommodate them. Even if the senior pastor have the stature, those who are following, who are is written at the day, they know they have not overcome some sins. They are not growing. The man in the front is growing, but those who are at the back, they are struggling for crumbs. The promise is not clear. The hope is not clear. So the greatest gift to the church member is our death. Keep on dying. Keep on dying. Sweet death. Sweet death, because it's sweet. When your death is sweet, prophecy will come. So those prophets, they prophesy according to their stature. There was no reason a prophet like Moses. But the status that God wanted to bring all prophets, all the people to in Israel, is to be like Moses. Let me give you an instance. He said the weakest among them will be like David. And the strongest will be like God himself. You know, what kind of nation is that? That the weakest will be like David. Is David weak? A man who never lost a battle. And the stronger will be like God. That means that God is one excellent. Stretching men beyond their limits until everything die in them so that they can prophesy. Because if I prophesy, we keep the flock. So say my greatest gift is to grow in prophetic life so that I can prophesy. The reason why we should do charity is in the hope of a thing. See, don't waste your charity attitude, though. Do it very well. You know, at times when you are doing charity, you don't even know why you are doing it. Because Pastor Thompson said it, that we should do charity. When they are talking, don't talk. Brethren are disturbing you. The brethren are, maybe brethren stay with you. They are giving you a tough time. You are enduring them because you don't want to explode. If you explode, they say you are not growing. You don't know the reason. You are more of what people will say. You are more of what leaders will say than what the hope. There is a hope. What else? There is a hope. Bible says they show the love in the spirit when ahead of your love towards the saints for the hope that is set in heaven. What is the hope of our gathering? What is the hope? Why are you enduring that person? Why are you forgiving? Why are you preferring your brother? Why are you, when you know the hope, honestly, you will thank God that you have privilege to go through those things. You will thank God. Because when the hope is not clear, that's why you complain. Everybody you see, you just complain about the person. How is that brother? Ah, we thank God for him. In fact, that guy has dealt with me. Ah, I don't even know where to push him. Complain all the time. You know why? Because you are not waiting for anything. You can get to a point that you are hopeless. Hopelessness does not mean that you don't have future for tomorrow. That you don't know why you are standing where you are standing. That is hopelessness. A prophet is raised by the word of God. Now, when Abraham heard that his only son that ran away from him, who took part of the cattle, who could not control his own worker to be peaceful with his elder brother workers, and choose to leave Abraham, when Abraham heard that they have taken him captive, he gathered 380 men in his household. So that means that he did not take record of the infirmity of Lot. Because you know that is very risky. What of when you left and another person came to invade you? Who will defend the house? He has reasons. He has reasons to talk. He can have reasons to go with you. Baba, let you keep my house. You cannot be protecting another mountain. And then my own scatter. No, I have to keep my own first. Then when I'm caught my own first, I know I'm secured. Then I can now say, let me look for that nonsensically foolish boy that was very, very disrespectful and dishonorable. Occasion that served him well. He left me because he didn't recognize the grace of God upon me. And it is good that they suffer because a prophet has been despised. Let them take him to the inner carcass of Chadalamohoma. Let him rot in jail. If peradventure he can survive for 5 years, then a year later, after 5 years, making 6 years, I can go and beg for his rotting body so that I can bury him. In case I see his father in the world to come, I can tell him your boy was very rude and very stupid. So I have done you good by taking his rotting body from the jail to bury him. I've had no way, but Abraham did not have that thought. He has left the earth. He has escaped this onslaught of the first phase of offense. He left, risking everything, going after 5 kings. 5 kings against 319 persons. Abraham was a very terrific guy when he risked everything. And then he went after this guy. He went after them and rescued the people. He rescued his brother and he rescued the goose. But before he could do that, a statue of charity has been built. The final test, if he's qualified for the next phase, is being given to him. Many of us, God is testing us for the next move of the Spirit. May you be qualified. You know, there are some things that you do for some people. They will tell you that you have done well. I think why you're talking about deep, little boy, you are ready, and you can look here. Yeah. You are the only one that is having the capacity. May you not have evil capacity against charity. We have been trusting God to deal with that guy. Hey, please deal with him. But heaven will be, hey, they have thwarted the program. Abraham went and rescued all that was taken. But before he will be meeting the king of Sodom, a man appeared to him. What is the name of that man, everybody? Melchizedek. Say Melchizedek. And elder in the journey came to strengthen him. The giving of bread and wine is to strengthen Abraham against this king of Sodom. Because actually the statue of Abraham was not enough to confront the king of Sodom. He's not coming to fight him. is the presentation of things that Sodom has anointed. The gifts from Sodom. You can take the goods. Give me the people. You don't know the kind of wealth that it was in Sodom. Don't think that Sodom was a poor nation. They were flourishing. Why would they come out? Five kings came against two nations. It's not because they have things. So that what is contained in the cup and the bread is a teaching to detach from the earth. The very content of the cup is so that men may learn to refuse evil and choose good. Because Abraham made Melchizedek, he said, I have lifted up my hands unto heaven. I will not take any dime from you. Lest you say that you make Abraham rich. So it is not the boast that he was escaping. He was escaping the impurity in Sodom. Some of us, we are not wise to know how to escape. So what qualifies him to make Melchizedek? Charity. 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 It bona la la la. Effect bona favent charity. There are some things you do. You meet the Lord. It's a major junction in the life of Abraham. If Abraham has not done that work, we will not have seen somebody who will represent the order of Jesus. Then after he has done that, let's look at chapter 15, verse 1. Let's look at it. Want to go, everybody? Say. Say, after these things. What are those things? After he has done charity. After he has fought the war of charity. After he was able to lose reason why he should not help Lot. Then he was introduced to the prophets. To be company of prophets. This was actually a false introduction of Abraham to be a prophet. It is the word. This particular word is not Bible. Remember that Bible has not been collected at that time. The Lord appeared to Abraham in a vision. After these things, saying, fear not, Abraham, I'm thy shield and exceeding great reward. How many chapters did God use to talk to him? That the quarter? The whole chapter 15. How many chapters has the Lord been using to talk to us? 66 book. How many chapters? But yet we are not making migration the way Abraham was make my migration. Ask me why. Because the word has not come. When the word comes, it is a one word with multitude. It's that same word that will become billions of years. It will show the way, it will show the precept, it will show the justice, judgment, and everything. It will show it to you. Things that you have been read that are not commandments before, they become commandments. So it's not in the multitude of what you have read, it's what has come. And the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. I am thy shield and the exceeding great reward. And he said, walk before me and be perfect. Now, this is what I want to see. What God, why the word came is to deliver Abraham. Is to deliver Abraham. Say to deliver Abraham. Not from the king of Sodom, but from another king in the spirit. Another Chadal and Mahora in the spirit. That the king that does not have name that man can utter. Me king that is not visible, though before heaven, they are the troubler of nations. They are the people that wrecked the generation of Adam. They are the people that taught Cain, Nimrod, what they did. That king came also. It was a king in the spirit. And God knew this guy has obeyed me. This thing has to be judged in his life. The word of the Lord came unto Abraham. I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. And then he began to talk about how he will go into captivity. He now asked God, after you have said all of these things, so what about my child? Is it Eleazar of Damascus that will make my child? That child, say that child.
That child.
Say that child.
That child.
Is actually the footstool of the devil to accuse Abraham before God that he's not qualified to be a prophet. Satan is afraid of prophets. What does everybody? Satan is afraid of prophets. Sir, what they did was that word came to deliver Abraham for a king called fear. Those who through their lifetime are subject to the fear of death. They deliver him. And that word that came, it was that word that created a season over his life. In that word, he made mistake, because the word has come. He made mistake, but because the word has come, God corrected it. Until Abraham finished. To be not just prophet of words. He became prophet of testimony. And it is on his testimony that Israel was established. Now, last thing I want to say, the Lord confirmed his word, his testimony in Jacob. And appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them know to what? So he commanded our fathers. Say, he commanded our father. That they should what? Make it. So we are God finally established the testimony was in the third generation. So that means the testimony was not established with Abraham. They need Isaac to come. They need, immediately Jacob came on board, it was established. Let's say three. But the next generation was before. Say it was before. Okay, let's look at it again. For he established what? And appointed what? A law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come may know them, even the children which should be born. So the children who will be born, who should be what? Who should arise and declare to their... Can you see the way they want to propagate the testimony? God, there is a prophet of the word. And as the prophet of the testimony, it is the word that became testimony, but with a stronger force. Now, before the word can become testimony, the testator must die. What killed the man was the word. Immediately the man died, he became a testimony. That's what happened to Jacob. Jacob wrestled with that angel till daybreak, and they touched his hollow, then they changed his name. They established a testimony in him. And the God said that, forever I shall be known, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But for the children that will come after them, they must be four. Now, what the Lord is saying is, I see this thing we are hearing should not stop with us. There is something that matters, but this thing should be propagated. See, what we are doing now, can we wait for the fourth generation to arise? You have testimony. Your son has testimony. Your grandson has testimony. Your great-grandson has testimony. Then the earth will cave in. Jesus will come back. But until we are able to replicate four generations who can receive this mercy, we may be recycling our move. So it is not good enough for you to finish. It is good that your children finish. And their children finish, and their children. To show to you how Satan also planned his own generation. He planned it like that. If you can follow it through, Satan will break. Psalm 76. For he established a testimony in Jacob. Of course, you know that before a testimony and a law can be established, a word will have been given. Which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That the generation to come may know them too. Even the children who should be born, three, who should arise and declare to their own children, four. Let's continue, verse 6. Verse 7, that the what? What exactly is the thing that must rest in the heart of all the four generations? Hope in God. Say hope in God. Say hope in God. So if hope in God is what they should set their heart upon, that means that God must come. There is another coming. There is another coming that the prophet of the word has been raised. The prophet of the testimony has been raised. But more than a prophet should be raised. More than a prophet is the hope in God that raised more than a prophet. Of course, John the Baptist could not complete the prophetic circle. Cut him short. But the person he introduced completed his own. And one of the things that rested in Jesus was the hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. God who raised the dead. who quickened the dead. How did God quicken? He was alone. Sir, for us to finish our prophetic ordinances, we must be alone. There is a season of being alone. The season of being alone is the season of multiplication. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, he abided alone. So the season of our death is when multiplication of the prophetic testimony is released. And can I hear you? The real more than a prophet is actually Jesus. He's Jesus. He is more than a prophet. Now, why they compare him more than a prophet is according to the last order. They were trying to say that all other prophets, they prophesy concerning this guy and he that he's supposed to introduce. He said, if you will allow me, I will tell you that this is the Elijah to come. But that is, this guy is one that every other person has prophesied. Why is he more than the word of God that came to him was what made him more than a prophet? The word of God that came for other prophets, they could not see the tree of life. But John saw the tree of life. It was only Adam and Eve that was greater than John. Adam saw the tree of life. Eve saw the tree of life, but they couldn't touch it. The same way, John saw the tree of life. Who is Jesus? How did he see it? The word of God that came unto John, the son of Zechariah. That son has never visited any prophet. When Jerusalem was inhabited, when Jerusalem was entered, that word did not come because there was no stature to receive it. No stature. So they raised a more than a prophet. So what made him more than a prophet? Well, that can you see the tree of life? Hallelujah. So those who will cross over to more than a prophet are overcomers. He that overcometh will I grant to eat of the tree of life. Why will you eat it? Because you will desire it. You will desire it. I want us to desire. We need to leave everything aside and desire these things. That it will be so in our day that the generation to come may also have hope in God. I want to ask one question. By the time you are living, by the time you are 60, what will children know you for? And whatever your children know you for is what the inheritance you are giving to them. Can we just give thanks to the Lord? I want to set my heart on the hope. Set my heart on the hope. Can you ask the Lord, deliver me from offense? Deliver me from things that cripple prophet on the way.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyosiyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.